Gingrich wants a manned moon base by 2021. Boeing has mixed news for investment analysts. And a proposed helicopter noise law might not really do much. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, January 27th, 2012. Boeing released 2011 fourth quarter financials Wednesday, and the news was mixed. Despite a long, deep recession, the company's order backlog allowed fourth quarter net income to rise to $1.4 billion, or $1.84 a share, on revenue of $19.6 billion. But the company also warned that pension costs, higher than anticipated by analysts, will create a headwind in 2012. The company projects pension expenses to be 83 cents per share. Kenneth Herbert, an analyst with Wedbush Securities, told Reuters, quote, "People had been expecting the pension expense was going to go up, but the amount of the increase was more than I was looking for. I was looking for something in the range of 50 cents, unquote. Overall, Boeing predicts 2012 revenue of $78 billion and forecasts earnings to be in the range of $4.05 to $4.25 per share. Certain places in America seem to trigger pandering by politicians more than others. In 2008, Mitt Romney promised a crowd in Detroit a $20 billion bailout of the domestic auto industry if he was elected. On Wednesday, Newt Gingrich spoke on Florida's Space Coast and proposed a Kennedy-esque commitment to return to the moon, only this time with a manned base. Quote, "We want Americans to think boldly about the future. By the end of my second term, we will have the first permanent base on the moon, and it will be American," unquote. Gingrich also said he'd devote 10% of NASA's $18 billion budget to prizes for competitions which encourage innovation. That would be $1.8 billion, a massive increase over the few million currently spent by NASA on such activities. During a debate in Florida on Monday, Romney said he believes there should be a vision for NASA, but offered no specifics. A California lawmaker has introduced a bill in the state legislature which supports the idea of federal restrictions on noisy, low-flying helicopters over Los Angeles neighborhoods. Mike Feuer, a Los Angeles Democrat, introduced a resolution Tuesday asking the California legislature to support the Los Angeles Residential Helicopter Noise Relief Act of 2011. That's a federal proposal which has a version under consideration in both the House and the Senate. But the North Hollywood Patch reports Larry Welk, president of the Professional Helicopter Pilots Association, told NBC Los Angeles the legislation would exempt all helicopters flown by fire and police departments, the Department of Water and Power, and other government agencies. Also exempted would be emergency responders such as air ambulance helicopters. Welk notes, quote, "The fact is this legislation exempts 70% of the helicopters that generate the noise," unquote. One Patch reader concurs, observing, quote, "If they're going to exempt LAPD helicopters, which are the loudest and most obnoxious, we might as well not have any regulations because the noise problem won't be solved," unquote. Flight instructors from Southwest Airlines and AirTran have voted to ratify a seniority integration agreement. The 17 flight instructors from AirTran are non-union, but have now been integrated into the master seniority list kept by Transport Workers Union Local 557. There are about 70 Southwest flight instructors in the union. Security camera video from Nashville International Airport appears to refute a claim by local police that U.S. Senator Rand Paul became irate when he was detained by TSA Monday. Instead, the video shows the senator waiting patiently in the glass cubicle area until he's interviewed by authorities. The incident led his father, presidential candidate Ron Paul, to call for the abolishment of TSA, calling the agency part of a police state, according to USA Today. Senator Paul missed his plane but was able to book a later flight to Washington, D.C., and boarded that flight without incident. Still ahead, the U.S. Air Force pulls the plug on the Global Hawk UAS. The House will hold a hearing this year on the FCC and Light Squared. And passengers at San Francisco International get a free yoga room. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, January 27th. I'm Paul Platt. The U.S. Air Force has reportedly decided to pull funding for the Northrop Grumman Global Hawk program and extend the life of the Cold War vintage U-2 through at least 2020. The move is part of broad defense cutbacks in the Pentagon's 2013 budget, according to a report from Reuters. An official who's not authorized to speak to the media told the news service that the Block 30 variant of the Global Hawk is cut from the budget Congress will receive in February. Northrop Grumman is also developing a maritime version of the aircraft for the Navy, and the Air Force may consider deploying that version, which carries different sensors. The chair of the House Energy and Commerce Communications and Technology Subcommittee plans to hold a hearing to look into the FCC's allocation of spectrum to LightSquared before key interference questions were addressed. In a news conference outlining his 2012 agenda, Republican Greg Walden, an Oregon Republican, says he is, quote, trying to figure out how the cart got so far ahead of the horse, unquote. No specific date has been given for the hearing. It's likely that medical helicopter transport will always remain a dark corner of accident statistics. A no-go call on these missions risks a patient's death, and the calling of a helicopter in the first place usually means time is of the essence. But in two recent probable cause reports, the NTSB notes fatal accidents resulted when pilots took unnecessary weather risks during routine flights home after their patients had reached the hospital. In the case of a September 25, 2009 accident in South Carolina, the board determined that a pilot, identified in local media as 45-year-old Patrick Walters, had transported a patient to Charleston Hospital and was returning to his home base in Conway. The patient flight was made in visual conditions, but an advancing storm caused deteriorating weather. Walters and two medical personnel died in the crash of that AS-350. The board found no evidence of pre-crash mechanical failures. The other case, on March 25th of 2010 in Tennessee, also involved an ASTAR-350. The Associated Press reports the NTSB said the pilot, 58-year-old Doug Phillips, was finishing a 12-hour night shift and told another pilot he thought he had about 18 minutes to beat a storm moving into the area and return to his home base in Brownsville, Tennessee. Phillips and two nurses died on that flight. The board listed probable cause as the decision to fly into bad weather, but added, quote, at the time of the accident, the pilot was nearing the end of his 12-hour duty shift, during which he had flown previous missions and may have had limited opportunities to rest. Further, the accident occurred at an early hour that can be associated with degraded alertness, unquote. The FAA has cleared development of a 64-turbine wind farm west of Pratt Regional Airport in Kansas, but the Pratt County Zoning Board is left scratching its collective head after a former FAA employee who's also a commercial pilot, flight instructor, and expert witness in 60 lawsuits says the FAA screwed up and building the wind farm could leave the county liable for aviation accidents. The Pratt Tribune reports that on Monday night, Don Hensley of Safe Sky LLC told the zoning board that the FAA didn't follow its own procedures in approving the project, which he says will put 23 of the 64 turbines unacceptably close to flight paths. He added that unless the zoning board stops the project, the landowners, developer, and county could be found liable in an accident. A county attorney disagreed, saying as long as the board acts reasonably, the county should be off the hook. And finally today, pardon the California stereotype, but we didn't make this up. 4 years of runway construction at San Francisco International Airport is coincidentally getting underway just as a new Zen room opens. So passengers stressed out over the delays will be able to keep themselves stress-free, centered, and stretched just inside the security checkpoint at Terminal 2. Airport Bureau of Planning and Environmental Affairs spokesman John Bergener tells the Examiner that most of the construction will be carried out at night, and even daytime work will leave about 9,000 feet available on the runways, so concern over additional delays may be overstated. In the airport's announcement about the new yoga room, Melissa Mizell, a director for Gensler Design, which created the design, is quoted as saying it, quote, aims to elevate the passenger experience. The yoga room gives modern travelers a space that fosters and supports quiet and reflection. Those aren't emotions that people typically encounter at the airport, unquote. No kidding, especially at TSA checkpoints. The room is located in Terminal 2 next to the Recompose area, which is the airport's quaint term for the space provided to put your clothes back on after the TSA screening. CBS 5 TV notes that while a pre-flight facial or a back rub at the airport spa costs money, using the yoga room will be free, and even a few TSA agents have said they might use it. Here's a tip for travelers. If you're in Terminal 2 and spot a transportation security officer in a standing half-forward bend, avoid the temptation to start patting him down as a joke. He's not likely to be amused. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.